2 days ago, the San Francisco skyline was covered in thick black smoke. It came from a fire that tore through a construction site in the Mission Bay neighborhood.
The fire is mostly out at this hour, but the smell of smoke is still very, very strong. Firefighters have been out here for more than 6 hours. More than 150 responded, and right now they are still pouring water onto those hot spots. Now,
Tuesday's five-alarm fire was the biggest the city has seen since 2012. Ultimately, 150 firefighters responded with almost 50 vehicles, and they used a lot of water. KALW's Ben Trefney spoke with Mindy Talmadge, the public information officer at the San Francisco Fire Department, this morning to get a sense of how they take on a blaze this big.
When they initially arrived on scene, they basically took a look and realized that this was a building under construction that had no fire safety systems in place. They realized this was going to be a defensive fire. There was no life safety issues. Their main goal would be to protect the surrounding structures.
And how did they go about doing that?
The way they did that was they accessed the low-pressure water system to begin with, and they applied as much water as they could to the buildings that were adjacent to the structure. What happens in this sort of a situation where there is so much fuel burning, the radiant heat becomes so strong that it can actually catch the other buildings on fire without the flame actually impinging on those structures. And in fact, what did happen here was that the windows started breaking in the structure across the street, and also the sprinkler system in that building across the street was activated.
And so using a lot of water from the low-pressure systems initially, but then they turned to high-pressure systems eventually, right?
Yes, that's correct. With this type of fire and so many master streams going, and the master streams were the ones that you saw coming from the top of the aerial ladders, With that much volume, we definitely needed the high-pressure system. And it was a lifesaver. It enabled the crews to get enough water between the fire building and the other buildings that were threatened to cool those down, keep them cool enough so that they wouldn't catch fire.
We talked a little bit about low pressure versus high pressure. The city is filled with hydrants that have low pressure capacity. High pressure is different. What exactly is that, and where do you get that water from?
Okay, so the low pressure system is the domestic water supply. That is our first line of defense when we're fighting a fire. We go directly to the low pressure system.
And when you say domestic water supply, where is that coming from?
That's coming from Hetch Hetchy. So now we've got the high pressure system, and the high pressure system is a dedicated firefighting system. It's unique to San Francisco. It's a gravity-fed system. It was a system that was built after the 1906 earthquake. It starts up at Twin Peaks Reservoir, which holds about 10.5 million gallons of water. And then there are holding tanks along the way. One is the Ashbury tank, and then one is the Jones Street tank. You can identify the hydrants that are part of that system around the city as the hydrants that have a very large diameter, and they have bonnets on the top that are various colors. They're blue, black, and red.
That's Mindy Talmadge. She is the public information officer for the San Francisco Fire Department. So do you have an idea of how much water you used in fighting this fire from Tuesday, Wednesday, and through now?
I can tell you it was millions of gallons of water. Each of those ladder pipes pumps out about 750 gallons per minute. Each of the multiversals, maybe 500 gallons per minute. So multiply that by how many of those streams we had going and how many hours it was going. It was millions and millions of gallons of water.
Do you end up making an accounting of that so that you can measure how much is left, say, in the reservoirs at Twin Peak and so forth?
Well, we can calculate it out based on how many hours each one of those streams was in service, and that is something that the company officers keep track of, how long they're actually using their streams or how long they've been at the particular fire. But the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, actually, the water comes from there for the Twin Peaks Reservoir. So that is refillable. At some point, though, we do have other options to fill that reservoir, which we wouldn't fill it with seawater unless it was something that we absolutely had to do. In the case of maybe a large earthquake or something like that.
So you could do that if you needed to.
We could do that if we needed to.
If, obviously, we're in a drought right now, and people are, like myself, are being very careful about, you know, turning off the faucet when I'm brushing my teeth, which uses, I don't know, maybe a gallon or a couple of gallons or something like that, versus the millions that were used to fight a fire, obviously, necessarily. If the drought continues, would you consider using seawater in different ways, or would your practices change in any way?
Well, the problem with seawater is that it's very corrosive to the equipment and the piping and everything. So, you know, if that's something we don't have to think about doing right now, we would not do that. If we had to do it, we would do it.
So is your department involved with investigating what exactly caused this fire? What is your role at this point?
Well, yes, we are. Our fire investigators will investigate the cause. They have basically conducted all of the interviews, to my knowledge. They're leaning toward this being an accidental fire. And once that is determined, the investigation, to my knowledge, is closed. We are still down there as the days go on, and as they move the debris around, we will be there to wet down any hot spots and make sure that nothing flares up again. And then once the commander determines that we've done all that we can, then we will leave the scene.